بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet, his household, and the companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation on the book Al-Qawl al-Mufid, Sharh Kitab al-Tawheed, the beneficial saying on the or Al-Qawl al-Mufid ala Kitab al-Tawheed, the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed. And the explanation is by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. We have reached this is part number 13, and we have reached the chapter on Al-Khawfu min al-Shirk, fearing shirk. And now we are going to the evidences from hadith, and this is the second hadith which the author originally cited. لِمُسْلِمٍ وَلِمُسْلِمٍ عَنْ جَابِرٍ, and from Muslim, relating it from Jabir, reporting it from Jabir, that أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من لقي الله لا يشرك به شيئا دخل الجنة, من لقي الله لا يشرك به شيئا دخل الجنة, ومن لقيه يشرك به شيئا دخل النار. Whoever meets Allah not having associated anyone with him in worship shall enter paradise, and whoever meets him having committed shirk in any way will enter the hellfire. And this hadith is reported in Muslim. Now, in the first part, من دخل الجنة, من here, this article indicates, is a conditional article in the grammatical sense, and it really is, or it indicates العموم, generality. من لقي الله, whoever meets Allah, meaning on the day of judgment, not having ascribed partners with him in worship, shall enter paradise. This entrance does not negate the possibility that a person may be punished in accordance with his sins, if there are sins still on him. Because of the other texts which are called Nusus al-Wa'id, the texts of a threat, this is of course if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive him, meaning that the person who acquires sin his and does not repent from that, he is under the threat, the textual threats, but also his case is left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is under his mashia, he is under his will. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asserting the purity of worship. And it is very much emphasized in the statement لا يشرك به شيئا, associating nothing or anyone whatsoever, even if the person taken as an associate is the most noble of mankind, meaning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If a person does this, he will enter hell. So imagine then the case of those who make of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam status greater than that of Allah, and they resort to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at times of distress or difficulty instead of turning to Allah the Most High. In fact, some of them may even turn to those who are at a lesser status when compared to that of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there are those who even don't care by whom they make an oath, whether they make even an oath truthfully by Allah or lying by that. On the other hand, you find them making oaths by their nationality or the like in truth. And the scholars differed as to the one who does not care concerning his oaths. And it is said that he makes an oath by Allah even if he lies. But not to make oaths where shirk is involved. And this is the correct opinion. Now, in the second part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and whoever meets him, meets Allah, having committed shirk in any way, will enter the hellfire. Now, the question, does this mean eternal stay in hell for the one who commits shirk? The answer, this depends on the type of shirk committed. If the shirk is of the lesser type, then this does not entail the eternal stay in hell. And if it is of the major type, then it does, as indicated by many texts. Now, could also we understand the two segments of the hadith to indicate the major shirk, like in the first part, whoever meets Allah not having associated anyone with him shall enter paradise, even though the person may be punished in hell for that which he deserves because of his sins. But eventually he will be in paradise. And for the one who commits the major shirk, the person will end forever in hellfire. Yes, it is possible the important issues of this chapter. Number one, al-khawfu min al-shirk, fearing shirk. Because of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive ascribing partners with him. And because of the dua of Ibrahim عليه السلام واجلبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام, and keep me and my sons away from worshipping idols. Second, that riya, show off, is from shirk. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, what I fear most for you, أخوف ما أخاف عليكم الشرك الأصغر. What I fear most for you is a form of shirk. When they asked about it, he said صلى الله عليه وسلم, الرياء, showing off. And we have discussed its influence on the worship, whether it nullifies it or not, in the earlier chapter. Thirdly, that riya is from the lesser shirk, because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about it, he mentioned it as lesser shirk, as shirk al-asghar. Now, could it reach to be a major shirk? Could it mount to be a major shirk? What's apparent from the hadith that it doesn't, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said ash-shirk al-asghar, the lesser shirk. When he was asked about it, he said ar-riya, the showing off. However, in the statements of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, when he mentions ash-shirk al-asghar, he would always say kayasir ar-riya, like the slight riya, the slight showing off. So this indicates that too much of it is not from the lesser type. But if Imam Ibn al-Qayyim intended in the quantitative sense, then yes. Meaning, if the person will show off in every action he does, then he will be considered committing major shirk, because there is no presence of sincerity in his actions. But if Imam Ibn al-Qayyim intended the qualitative aspect, then the apparent meaning of the hadith, that it is generally considered from the lesser shirk. Fourth matter. Falling into the minor shirk, riya, is more fearful to the righteous and pious people than other matters, because it can creep to the person unknowingly or in a hidden way. And the self yearns towards it, because many people would like to be praised while being in a state of worship. So because of the ease, one can fall into it due to its being a subtle. The hadith also indicates the nearness of paradise and hell, because the hadith states من لقي الله لا يشرك به شيئا, whoever meets Allah on the day of judgment not having associated anyone with him shall enter paradise, ومن لقيه, and whoever meets him having committed shirk in one way will enter the hellfire. The other point is that أن من لقي الله يشرك به شيئا دخل النار ولو كان من أعبد الناس, whoever meets Allah on the day of resurrection having associated partners with him in any way shall enter hell, even though he might have been a great worshipper. On the other hand, if his shirk is major, then he will not be admitted to hell, to the paradise, even though he may be or he may have been a great worshipper. Because of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 72, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. Verily, whosoever sets up partners in worship with Allah, then Allah has forbidden paradise for him, and the fire will be his abode. We seek refuge in Allah from the fire of hell. And if his shirk is of the lesser type, then he may be punished in accordance with his sins, then eventually he will be admitted to paradise. The other major point of conclusion is that the important issue in the invocation of Ibrahim for himself and for his offspring is to be the protection from the worship of all statues and all images set for worship. And that's why he said, وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ, and keep me and my sons away from worshipping al-asnam, all forms of statues and images. The other point concluded from this hadith is in the saying of Ibrahim in the same verse, رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. Can we have the verse please on from 14:35? رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. Now, when Ibrahim, O my Lord, now the same verse, please, and keep me and my sons away from worshipping idols. Let's continue the verse, please. The next one. This is the invocation, the coming segment. O my Lord, they have indeed led astray many among mankind, many. There is a difference, as you can tell, between كثير وأكثر, between many and most. There is a difference between كثير وأكثر, many and most. Take for example in Surah Al-Isra in chapter 17 verse 70, قال الله تعالى وفضلناهم على كثير ممن خلقنا تفضيلا. In this verse he didn't say preferred them over most, not to mention the entire creation. And indeed we have Amr, the children of Adam, and we have carried them on land and sea and have provided them with all lawful good things and have preferred them above many of them, or we have preferred them above many of those whom we have created. Yes, many, here كثير. Here he didn't say most of creation, because the children of Adam were preferred above many, وَلَيْسُ أَكْرَمَ الْخَلْقِ عَلَى اللَّهِ, but they are not the most honored of creation with Allah, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them. So you can tell the difference between many and most, and the benefits that may be deducted from that in certain contexts of the verses. This hadith is an explanation of the meaning of La ilaha illallah, as Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned. Because La ilaha illallah is composed of affirmation and of negation. And here the hadith is, من لقي الله لا يشرك به شيئا, whoever meets Allah not having associated anyone with him in worship will enter paradise. وَمَنْ لَقِيَهُ يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ النَّارِ. So there is here affirmation of tawheed and negation of shirk, the same as in La ilaha illallah. The other major conclusion is the superiority of the one who is free from shirk and safe from shirk. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. But He forgives except that, meaning except of shirk, anything else to whom He pleases. And because of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying in the hadith, مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ النَّارِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever meets Allah on the day of resurrection, ascribing no partners with Him in worship, will be admitted to paradise. And this tells the superiority of the one who is free from shirk. This concludes the explanations on the chapter number 4, and this is part 13 in our discussions. And inshallah, tomorrow we will go to chapter 5, and the chapter 5 is under the title الدعاء إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله, the call to testify, the testimony of faith that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will be the subject for tomorrow's discussion. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.